Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good, right? All right. If you have your copy of God's Word tonight, you can turn to the book of Judges chapter 6 and 7. And I'm going to get there in just a minute. I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture that you don't have to turn to just real quickly. And then I'll catch up with you in just a second. Give me a second to get organized here. Tonight I'm going to introduce, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be preaching on a particular subject. I just want to kind of introduce it tonight, kind of give you the introduction, if that's all right. We'll just let it see where it falls and God take us. This is something that's really out of the series of messages that I've preached since we've come into this building. If you see, there's a pattern here that I'm preaching. We talked about a mature church. We talked about being a mature church, what it is to be a mature church. Then we talked a little bit about iniquities, and we talked a little bit about personal responsibility and the difference between transgression and iniquity, the difference between sin that we do on a daily basis that the blood has covered and we take care of through repentance. And the difference in iniquity, which is that which comes through our bloodline, which we have to deal with, which comes out of our will, our emotions. It comes out of the seed of our passions. And we have to deal with that differently. That's usually, in most of our lives, it's a constant struggle because we have the flesh, right? And as long as you have the flesh, you're going to have a battle, right? And so just because you struggle with something doesn't mean you can't overcome it. Doesn't mean you can't live in victory. Doesn't mean that you can't live victorious. You don't have to succumb to those things. I've known people that have been susceptible to alcohol, but I know other people that never have trouble with alcohol. I know some people who have trouble with drugs, but they've never had trouble with alcohol or never had trouble with other things. And we know that those things are things that are in our lives that we have to deal with. Sometimes, as Paul said, there are daily basis. We have to deal with those things on a daily basis. And so we talked about iniquities. And then the whole point is moving us forward to the place to where we begin as a corporate body. Just begin to mesh a little bit. How many know it's important to be in unity as a corporate body, as a church, right? It's one thing to be in right standing with God as an individual, right? Dealing with things in our lives and keeping ourselves to a place to where we keep short accounts with God in those areas of our life. But it's another thing that when a corporate church or corporate body comes into unity, then a whole new thing happens once there's unity in the body. And let me tell you, there's a lot of places and a lot of churches that hasn't found unity. And because of that, there's things they miss. There's things they miss out on. There's blessings they miss out on. There's things that God wants to bring to the corporate church that people are missing because they don't have unity in the church. Now, we can have church service, but let me tell you, there's things that God wants to impart in us as a corporate church that when we're in unity, that happens when we are all marching together in one step with one mind, one vision, headed toward where God wants us to go. All of a sudden, God begins to bless the whole place, right? And when He blesses the whole place, then what you need individually, God gets you, right? So when the whole corporate house gets blessed, everybody gets blessed. So there's a unity that God wants to bring in the church. And so I want to take the next couple of weeks and talk a little bit about unity and talk a little bit about the body of Christ. And so do I get permission to go ahead and preach? Is it all right if I just go ahead and just kind of take my tie off and take my jacket off and just go ahead and just preach a little bit? And just kind of tell you the truth. Can I tell you the truth? Or do you want me to be religious? I can be religious. Right? We could talk about, All right. I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture to you. The first one's found in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8. You can write it down and read it later. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. Leviticus 26, and then Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Deuteronomy 32, 30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless the rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? Great verses of Scripture. If you'll turn over to the book of Judges chapter 7, the book of Judges chapter 7, I want to read a couple of verses there, and hopefully we'll get here tonight. Beginning in verse 2 of Judges 7, we'll also be looking at Judges 6 here in just a minute. It says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, My own hand has saved me.'" Verse 3, "Now therefore proclaim the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart from at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 people returned, and 10,000, only 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for there, and test you there. Then it will be that of them whom I say unto you, this one shall go with you, and the same shall go with you. And of the whoever I shall say to you, this one shall not go with you, and the same shall not go with you.'" Verse 5, "So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, anyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all of the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, and every man to his place.'" Father, may your blessing be on your word tonight. May it be living and alive. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God always deals with us where he finds us. And when you were a corrupt man, God always dealt with you according to salvation. When you didn't know God, you were lost, you didn't know Christ as your Savior, he always dealt with you as a lost man or towards salvation. And so when you got saved, you're no longer a corrupt man, but you're a covenant man, right? We're covenant believers in here tonight. We have a covenant that we have with God, and we're covenant people. And but not only are we covenant people, but we also have to understand as a church that as a church, we're also a corporate people. So we're not just individually covenant people with God, but we're also corporately the body of Christ as a whole, right? We're all part of the bigger picture than what's in this room. We're a part of the church, the body of Christ, whom Jesus has redeemed and saved. And there's hundreds of us, right? Thousands of us that God has saved. And so there's a corporate church. You're part of a bigger scope of what God wants to do in the world than just you and my little world. Now, as a covenant believer, there's certain things that you have or that you have access to as a believer that through your obedience, you're blessed, right? So as long as you're faithful to God individually and do what the Word says individually, there's certain blessings that'll be on your life just the fact by you being obedient, right? But also, and this is difficult to understand for some folks, is that as a corporate body, when we're in obedience together, okay, as a corporate body, there is also a blessing that comes on a covenant body or the body of Christ when we corporately are in unity, right? And the blessing that comes on the corporate body, you can't get individually. Is that making sense so far? There are certain things that God will pour out on a church, on the body of Christ, on the whole body, that you can't get individually just living for God by yourself. That's why when folk tell you, I don't need church, you tell them you do need church. Because there's things that you get in the body that you don't get by yourself sitting at home eating Fritos and drinking Mountain Dew. Even though you may be saved, there are some things you get when we come together. There's some things you get when we worship together and join together, love on one another, walk through things with one another, pray for one another, be there for one another, walk with one another, that you don't get sitting at home watching Gomer Pyle eating Fritos and drinking Mountain Dew, right? So God has a corporate, and let me say this, because living in a world and living in a culture in an hour, it's difficult for some people because we live in this fiercely independent, individualized, me, myself, and I culture where we sometimes elevate ourselves above what's best for the corporate body, our corporate people. That's why there's battles in people's homes because usually there's somebody in the house that's more concerned about their own thing than they are everybody in the house, right? And so everybody in the house suffers because you got to get what you want. All right, I preach. Can I preach a little bit? So the same thing happens in the church because times we have people who are more interested in getting what they want individually. God has a difficult time moving corporately because you got to get what you want individually so you can be happy and you're not mad and you're not fussing and causing all kinds of stuff so that God, but there is a blessing that comes on the corporate church. There's an anointing that comes on the church that lives and dwells in unity. And if the church could ever find that place where there is unity in the body, if we ever get there, Mark, if we ever get there, there's no telling what God can do through this fellowship. We ever get to the place to where we're walking one step and step with one another, everybody doing what God wants them to do, and in the place God wants them, serving where God wants them, and we're moving forward to what God wants, there will be a pouring out on this body and a blessing that will fall not just on the preacher, not just on the singers, not just on the leaders, but on everybody that walks in here. Right? And so that's what we're striving for. We're striving for a corporate church. Ho, ho, ho. If we could get there, if we could get to that place. See, Jesus didn't come to build just the individual. He came to build the body, the ethnos, the corporate church that's in the earth, to be his church. We're all the bride of Christ. And so frustration comes when we're just interested in getting individual blessing. And there are certain things that only God pours out on the body of Christ and that we don't get by ourselves. We can't build the church and have the blessing of God. And when we have folks that are running around only caring about what they want. Right? Now, I'm not being mean. I'm really happy. I'm not mad. And so I want us to be blessed. I want our church to be blessed. I want us to have an impact on this city. I want us to have an impact on this region, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the othermost parts of the earth. But you can't get to the othermost parts of the earth if you can't win your Jerusalem, right? And so I want us to be able to have an impact as a court. And it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Right? It doesn't matter who gets the credit. Because the last I looked, that sign out there said, River Valley Community Church, right? And your name wasn't on it, and my name wasn't on it, but our name's on it. And so God wants to bless the whole work, everybody in the work. Everybody that comes into covenant with this fellowship, everybody that walks in here, and everybody should be able to be free. Everybody should be able to be blessed. Everybody should be able to come in and feel welcome and feel love, no matter where you come from or what you come from or who you know or who you don't know or what you do or what you don't do. It should be a place where every man has opportunity that if he wants to be free, he can be free. If he wants to break free, he can be free and have everything that God wants for his life. Right? And so God wants to pour out his blessing corporately on us and not just individually. That's why I read that scripture. Now, in Deuteronomy 32:30, it says what? It said one puts 1,000 to flight, but two does what? Put 10,000 to flight. Now, I wasn't very good in school. I was all right. I got by, right? Praise God for those who get by, right? But I did pass elementary math. And so when I do one, if one sets 1,000 to flight, and by my natural mind doing math, right? Or I don't know what you'd call it, but there's probably a name for it. If one sets 1,000, then naturally I would be thinking that two sets what? 2,000, right? And three would set 3,000, and four would set 4,000. Now, I don't know what you'd call that in math, but that's just what I would think naturally if you played it on out, right? But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that one sets 1,000 and two sets 10,000. Now, naturally, that doesn't work right. But what you have to understand, what God was telling them, is that there's greater blessing in unity. There's greater yet blessing in doing it together. There's greater impact, right? There's greater influence. There's greater reach. There's greater ability to do than if you just have one. So God's multiplication is not our multiplication. And so what we see in the natural is not limited by what God can do in the spiritual. So when God says one sets 1,000 and two sets 10,000, that tells me that when there's unity and corporate unity, there's really not a whole lot that God can't do when he finds just a few folks that are willing to come together and step into a place of unity and go ahead and step into the body of Christ and do what we're called to do. Right? That got me happy when I thought about that. I hear all these years I thought I was bad at math, Mark. I thought there's got to be some kind of equation there that God's missing. But the truth is, he's God, and his math always works. And so there's a greater blessing that operates on the corporate body as one body when we operate corporately together. Whenever there's a manifestation of the corporate body, there's always a greater impact and a greater blessing that comes on the people. Now, you could be individually and you can go home, and there's people you can bless. You can bless people you come in contact with. You can win people to Jesus. You can bless people financially. And you can have an impact in your little home and that kind of thing. And that's okay. That's what we're called to do. But you can't ignore the fact that there's a corporate body. And what you could reach individually, if we come together, we can reach a whole lot more together than we could if we all just separated and went out and did our own thing. Right? So to you and to me, would it make more sense for us to come into unity together and begin to build a church that walks in unity to one another? Instead of setting 1,000 to flight, why don't we just go ahead and take God's multiplication and go ahead and come together and send thousands to flight and have impact on many instead of just a few as believers? And so when I read through Scripture, and we've been talking in our class on Tuesday nights, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And y'all know how I feel about that. I feel we're living in a day that if people are going to get free, churches have to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We can't hide this thing in a back room. We can't hide it on a, you know, and put it on Sunday nights and put it on Thursdays and not do it on Sunday mornings and do it in the streets and do it in our jobs and do it at our homes and things like that. We have to be diligent in it. And so we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit operates and works. But you know, and I know from when we read it from Scripture, there's two foundations. There are two foundations that are used in order for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in a proper way. Right? The first one is love. If you have not love, then it doesn't matter if you prophesy, if you speak in tongues. Doesn't matter if you have gifts of words of wisdom. If you don't do it in love and you do it out of selfishness and you do it out of your own gain, then what you've done is that you have no effect on what you've done. So the foundation of everything we do in the Spirit has to be love. We do it because we love people. We don't use the gifts to tear people down. We don't use the gifts to tear somebody up or to show that we're greater than somebody else or that we're more spiritual than somebody else. The foundation of the love of the gifts is that's the foundation because we want to see people free. We want to see people get breakthrough. We want to see people get to the place that God's called them to go and get to the destiny and get their homes back and their marriages back and their lives back. Because of that, it's the love that's the foundation that we stand on that we operate in the gifts. Now, the Bible says in Corinthians 12 that love is the more excellent thing. Okay? So that's the greater of the foundation. But there's another foundation that the gifts have to be used on. And the Bible talks about that. And it's the foundation of what? Unity. Unity in the body. Unity in the body. The gifts of the Spirit and the corporate body and the effects of the gifts operate better when there's unity in the body. Right? That means there have to be order in the house. You can't be out in the parking lot prophesying to everybody, telling them what they need to do, right? You can't be out just a lone thing on your own, just doing everything. It has to be, we have to be corporately together in all of that. It doesn't mean that you can't operate in the gifts individually, but we have to remain as in unity when we see the gifts of the Spirit moving in our lives. The Bible tells us that. We can read that through Scripture. Matter of fact, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell, what happened? The Bible said they were what? They were in one accord. That sounds like unity to me. And there's 120 of them that got together. And the Bible said that 3,000 was added to the church that day when they had came into unity and they began to operate in the gifts of the Spirit based on the foundation of the love and unity. All of a sudden, the church began to increase. That's how we're going to grow, folks, is through the unity of the body. And so Corinthians 12 talks a little bit about unity. It tells us the different types of gifts. There's the diversity of gifts that we read, which are the revelation gifts, the power gifts, the inspirational gifts. I don't have time to go through all of those, but you can read those on your own. And then when there's the what's called the differences of administrations that are mentioned there also, which means ministry levels. In other words, there are some ministries, levels that are higher than others. Billy Graham's ministry is much bigger than our ministry, right? But does that mean our ministry is less important, right? And because we have a church in the city, does that mean the church that's sitting up on the hill in the country with 15 people is much less valuable than the church that we have here? No, it's not. Why? Because we're all one body. And so there's diversity of ministrations. There's diversity of ministries. Some are greater than others. Some have the capacity to do more than others. But it doesn't mean that what we do here is not important. See, we got to get out of this stuff with the church where everybody's got to seek to get somewhere, where we got to make this corporate business mentality to where we got to build our church to look like the biggest church in town, or we got to build our church to look like somebody's church that's on TV. We can't compete with everybody in the city. I'm not going to compete with every preacher in this city and everybody. I'm just going to let's just do what God calls us to do. And if we do that and be in unity and doing it, We'll have an impact. We'll do our part. We'll let them over the hill do their part. We'll let them up on the hill do their part. We'll let that preacher down the road and over the railroad tracks and the one down by this and that. We'll let them do their part, and we'll just all be the body and affect and change our city together. Is that a good idea? And we'll do our part. Because the truth is, God's not going to send us any more than what we're ready for. And He's not going to send us any more than what we can handle. And He definitely ain't going to send people in here if we're not in unity. And He's definitely going to send folks in here if we fussing, fighting, carrying, breaking chairs over everybody's head, flattening people's tires, and the police getting called on us every week because we fighting over what color the wall's going to be. Right? Y'all ever been in them churches? Uh-huh. Yeah, I interned at a church one time in Beaver Dam, North Carolina. They asked me to come preach an intern. They said, but we got to tell you, last week they had a fight at the church. There was a fist fight. People got arrested. And so when you go over there, I just want you to know what you're getting into. I said, huh. So over the mountain and through the woods and past Grandma's house we went. We went down into Beaver Dam, North Carolina, just outside of Asheville. We showed up. There were six people. It was one man and all his kids. And he told me when I came into the door, he had the deed to the church and he was in charge. And I said, well, that's all right, brother. That's fine. You can have all six of them. Like, I'm going to fight him for six people. Right? And he got his six people. But let me tell you what was worse about that. A whole city lost out, right? A community loses out. People's family lose out. It's hard telling how many people were impacted by that. How many kids stopped coming to church because daddy was fighting with Brother John down at the church. How many kids were turned off by church? How many kids were turned, people that walked away and said, I'll never go back there again because all they want to do is put everybody in headlocks and give everybody noogies. And so they didn't want to go back, right? But there's six people there. But I can guarantee you this. He told me at one time there was 150 to 200 people that went to that church. Now, where'd they all go? But if they had created an atmosphere of unity and created an atmosphere where they all walked together and that it wasn't about who they were and about what they wanted and what they needed, then all of a sudden that church probably could have had an impact on that city, but it missed an opportunity for God because they were more interested in getting their way than they were impacting the city. And so there's people in that city that might have got saved that was sitting home drinking Mountain Dew and eating Fritos that they could have impacted. Right? I don't ever want to stand before God someday as a church. Can I just pull you on in it? Right? Y'all throw it on me all the time. Right? That preacher's got to go visit. That preacher got to go get them in here. Let's just throw everybody in there. Right? We're going to stand before God one day. And we're going to have to give an account of why there were people who may not have missed an opportunity of this church because we decided we weren't going to walk in unity. I don't ever want to stand before God and have to give Him account of why people were had got disgruntled because we couldn't get along. All right, am I preaching all right? Is it okay? Can I have five more minutes? And this is the foundation by which we have to stand. Diversity of ministrations. It goes on to say and talk about diversities of operations. In other words, there are many different ways of ministry. TV, print. That, you know, there are many different ways. And then verse 7, it talks about the manifestations. And the manifestations of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12, it means to show. It means to show function in the Spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, it talks about the nine gifts of the Spirit. Verse 11, it talks about that we are all to receive as He wills. Listen, some people say, well, you know, He gets the gifts of tongues and He gives the gifts of... Listen, it's God's will that we operate in all of them, all of us. He gave gifts to all... In other words, the nine gifts of the Spirit are just not for people. It's not a smorgasbord. You just take what you want. Really, the truth is that God wants us to desire all of them so that we can walk in. There's going to be a time when you're going to need a word of knowledge in your life. There's going to be time when somebody in your family's sick and you're going to need the gift of healing on your life to pray for them. There's going to be a time when you're going to need discerning of spirit, when you walk up in a place and you can't discern what's going on there and you're trying to figure out what craziness is happening. You're going to need God to speak to you, right? You're going to need God to talk to you about your job and talk to you about where you're at, what you're doing, what you're going to do, where you're putting your money, where you're putting your kids, where you're headed to, where you're going, right? And so we're to walk in that. We're all to have to get as He wills. And the word will there means capacity. Listen, if you think that the gifts of the Spirit are going to move in this church and we not have unity and we not have the capacity to handle the Spirit of God, and when people do get saved, or when we do have to deal with devils, and when we do have to deal with crazy folk, and when we do have to deal with sin and deal with different things, if you think that God's going to allow us to operate in that but not have a foundation of unity and love, you've got something coming. Because what happens is when unity and love leaves, all they've got is each other, so they just go ahead and kill each other. Right? And then you're like Beaver Dam Church in Asheville, North Carolina, where there are just six people. And he's proud he's got the deed. I don't know if I'm making sense, but... But then in verses 13 through 22, 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the unity of the body. He talks about the hand can't say to the leg, I have no need of you. The eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. The fingers can't say to the toes that you smell and that you covered up all the time and nobody sees you, but they see the hand and you have no need of you. Because how many know that if you cut your foot off, how many know it impairs you? Right? If you lose a leg, it doesn't matter what your hand can do. You handicap, right? You lose your eyes. It doesn't matter what your ears can do. Your ears can't see for you. So we have to be careful about everybody in the body and not take for granted every portion of the body and every place of ministry in the church, because every place of ministry is just as important as the other. Whether you're up on that platform, whether you're playing music, or whether you're upstairs in the hallway with 14-year-olds telling them about Jesus. Or whether or not you scrubbing the toilet or wiping off a window or holding the umbrella for somebody walking in on a rainy day, it doesn't mean there's no important place. We're all the body. And when we function together and operate together, all of a sudden there's a blessing that comes on the church when we work together. Hey, I wish I had some Pentecostal people to preach to, because they'd be running the aisles right now. I'm just saying. He says in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, let no schisms be among you. Let no separations be there. And then he says in verse 31, which is an interesting verse, he said, covet and earnest the best gifts. Amen. The word covet there means to seek or desire or have a burning zeal for. Covet the best gift. You say, well, what does that mean? The best. What's the best gift? What does it mean to say the best gift? Individually, we're called by God, but you have a gift working in your life. You are to covet the gift that God's given you. Take responsibility for it. See, that's why I don't do well with excuses when people say, I can't do nothing. Right? Amen. You know, you can do something, you just don't want to do nothing. Right? Well, no, it's not It's we. Yeah. Right? So we've got to move. Listen, if you're not serving somewhere, you just need to find some, even if it's, what you said, even if it's cleaning the toilet or passing a bulletin out. Or out here in the traffic, helping somebody get out without getting hit by somebody coming around the corner. There's a place for all of us, and we are to find the best gift. And the best gift, listen to this. This is what the meaning of the word is. It means the more useful gift, our strength, our service, our service that enables another. Ha, ha, ha. How many know that your gift that you got, that God has placed in your life, is not for you? Ooh. Y'all gonna fall out right now. Pastor just told me that my singing is not my gift. It's not for me. You went, there goes my CD sales. Right? There goes Nashville. There goes Broadway. And when I get old and can't sing no more, I can't even go to Branson. Right? Because the gift that God has given you is not for you. It's to minister to the body. That's the best gift. It's the gift that's poured out. It's the gift that ministers. It's the gift that makes a difference in somebody else's life. It's taking a child that needs clothes for school and driving him down here to Penny's and putting some shoes on his feet and putting some britches on him, giving him some school books and sending him off to school and doing for him what maybe his mama can't do for him. Right? That may be your gift. It may be your gift to make me banana pudding when it comes church time. On dinner time, that may be all you can do is make banana pudding. But if that's all you can do, this will be one happy preacher. God didn't give you that recipe just for you. All right. And we'll get back to being spiritual. Now, I want you to see a couple of things in Scripture. Okay, it's 7:50. I got 5 minutes and we'll pray. Real quickly. Then we'll eat some chili. Hallelujah. That was made by somebody who has a gift to make chili. Praise God. There in Judges chapter 6, let's look at Judges chapter 6. We read Judges 7. Gideon has taken his 22,000 member army down to 300. Woo! 300 mighty men. Gideon ain't seen it that way. Yet. Chapter 6, and let's look at verse. I want to show you a couple things. Chapter 6 and verse 16. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites." And look what it says. What does it say? As one man. All right? Turn over to Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20 and verse 1. That's to your right. Judges chapter 20 and verse 1. "And so all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, as well as from the land of Gilead. And the congregation gathered together," what? "As one man before the Lord at Mizpah." All right? As one man. All right? Look at verse 8 of chapter 20. The Bible said, "So all the people arose as one man, saying, none of us will go down to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house." Now, look what it said. It said, none of us will turn back. Could you imagine what could happen in the church if everybody got to the place to where we said all of us or none of us, all of us is going to do what God says to do, all of us is going to be obedient? Could you imagine, could you imagine what God will do in this place if all of us tithe? Oh, woo-hoo. If all, not just some of us, but all of us. Because if all of us tithe, and all of us walked in obedience, and all of us walked out our gifts, and all of us did what we were called to do under the corporate body, all of a sudden God would begin to pour out some blessing on this church that we could not even imagine. We could do some things that you never thought we could do. We could go places and send people places you never thought we could take care of people you never thought we could take care of. If everybody just did what God had told everybody to do, and if as one man, we did what God said. Because when we come together, we are one. That's why the Bible says the church is what of Christ? The bride of Christ. And being the bride of Christ, you know as a bride, when you get married, you and your husband are what? You are one. And so if you're one and we're one body, it's not just us, but we are connected to who? Jesus and Christ. And so it's not just us by ourselves as one unit, but when we come into unity together, it's us and Jesus, because the bride and the bridegroom are one together. We could do more than what we could do individually if all of us would do it. It said here in Gideon, it said in Judges, it said none of them went down. They all decided they were going. There wasn't anybody going, hey, I'm going to go down. Y'all stay here. They were all together. They did it together. And I don't, you know what? There may have been some in that crowd, Ron, that didn't like it. Ooh, mercy. I'm not going to go there. Sometimes, and we all have to do it, sometimes we have to put aside what our preference is so that the greater good of the body all right, go to verse 11. So all the men of Israel gathered together against the city, united together as one man. Oh my. The word united there really means knit together. It means to be knitted together. Ezra 3, the Bible said that when Ezra was turning back, when he was taking them back to Israel, when Ezra was leading them back, in chapter 3, verse 1, it said the people gathered together as one man and began to worship. What would happen in here on Sunday morning? Amen. If we come in here and got Mr. Sandman out of our eyes, amen, and got out of us what you had to deal with on Saturday night, and we came in here as one body on Sunday morning and began to worship together as one man and began to press into God as one group and one church and one ministry and one group of, what would happen in here on Sunday morning if visitors would look around and everybody was worshiping and everybody was getting together? All of a sudden, people come in here that needed to be free, and they were convinced that the one on the front row, God's done something to him. Then they look to the right and they see somebody else is getting free. And then they look in the back and they say, well, all these folks are worshiping. Well, they're all crazy. They're all, my goodness, I better get in or I'm going to be, right? What would happen if all that unity took place in here on a Sunday morning? Yeah, we'd all be running. They'd have to open doors to get us out of here. We'd be knocking each other down. We'd be so happy. Nehemiah 8:1, it says that when the reading of the word was read, together they agreed and became as one man. Ooh! Oh, could you imagine that every message I'd preach, oh my Lord, not just me, anybody, any message that God gives any preacher, if the church would just rally around that word and get in under that word and step into that word and step into what God was saying, what could happen if we all came into agreement that God's word was true, that God's word was living, that God's word had an effect on us, and believe what it said? What if we all believed that God believed that we could heal the sick? What if we all was in agreement that God could touch? I don't even know what to say. But what if we all believed it? What could happen in here on a Sunday morning? Oh, my. Endless. I'll preach my wife right out of here. She's running, folks. All right, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with this. God pours out a greater blessing corporately on the church than he does individually. But when he does pour it out, we all get blessed. And all of our needs are met when the corporate church is working right. And so, how does God do that? Well, here's how he does that. Because God looks down at us, and who we are a part of, and who we are connected to, and who we are in agreement with, has a lot to do with what kind of blessing falls on us corporately. Now, Just because you're in a body doesn't mean that body's blessed. God pours out his blessing based upon the unity of that body and who you connect it with and who you around. See, that's why if you come in an agreement and alignment with wrong spirits and attitudes in people's lives, you get what that body deserves. And even though you may be walking right with God, right? But everybody else around you is in disobedience, right? You're going to get poured out on you what's been done corporately, even though you live in right. But if you're around the wrong folks who don't want to live right for God, all of a sudden you're going to be frustrated because the corporate blessing is never going to be there. You're going to struggle spiritually. But even though you're trying to live right, nobody else wants to live right. All of a sudden you're going to have to endure what falls out on that body. How many know it's important to be a part of a church that has an interest in doing what God wants to do and not going to church just for church's sake, but going to the place that God places you and puts you? I could just take off right now and preach on this. Because we receive whatever comes to us based on who we're connected to. You say, well, I don't believe that preacher. Well, let me tell you this. The Bible said in Malachi chapter 3, God said he was going to curse them. They said, well, why? They said, because you have robbed me. You have robbed the tithe and the offerings. You have taken from me, and now the devourer is going to come. And it doesn't mean that everybody in the congregation of Israel didn't give or steal from God. I'm sure there were some that did give. I'm sure there were some that did were obedience. But what the Bible said this in verse, if you look at verse 9 of Malachi 3, it says, and even this has fallen upon the whole nation. God was dealing with them corporately, not individually. And so who you attach to matters. Who you run with. Did your mama ever tell you, right, that bad company corrupts good morals? Huh? Did your mama ever tell you that if you run around with them, they're going to think that you are one of them? Huh? Now, my mama told me that all the time, and I didn't believe her until I was like 25. But you know what? You hang around the wrong folk, then you receive what them folk get when them folk act up. You in the wrong place all the time at the wrong time, and you can't figure out why your life's a mess because you keep hanging around people, right? It's the same way corporately in church. If you keep hanging around people that are disobedient to God and want to fuss and fight all the time, and part of a church that has no interest in reaching out and touching nobody, doing anything for God, right? You're going to receive what that body sows into the kingdom, and you're going to get what they get. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go ahead and close. I don't know about what you think, but Psalms 133 says this, how good and pleasant is it is for the brethren to what? To dwell together in unity. And the Bible goes on to say that when the oil is poured out and it runs from Aaron's head down to his beard all the way down to the end of his garments, then the Bible says when that happens, it says this, it says, for the Lord commanded a blessing. A commanded blessing, it means this. It means a lifetime forevermore. It means the best God has and his and gives to his highest order. Woo! That's a commanded blessing. So when the body comes in unity together, right, and God says when that happens, then I command a blessing on them. And a commanded blessing means you get the highest blessing that is available according to their obedience in God. Woo! Oh my goodness, what would happen in this place? If we just learn how to dwell together as brethren in unity with God, what would God pour out on this fellowship? What could God do here? If we would just get together, it'd be a commanded blessing. The best that God has would be upon us and everybody that walked into this place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. Mark, would you come? Hallelujah! Praise God. Woo, that stirs me up. Ha, 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 ha. Huh? Woo. oh my goodness, if we could just stand with me, if we could get a hold of that. Instead of fussing with Becky about what color the wallpaper is, and her being mad at me and leaving.
Amen.
Right? And I miss the best that God has for me. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it to me. It ain't worth it to me. Right? The presence of God just dropped right here into this building.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know why this is hard for some folks? Because some of you have been around so many Gomer Pyle type preachers. Right? Right? Who I'm willing to tell you that what you, the steps you need to take in order to step into the blessing of God. And so what happens is people never are pushed, never are challenged to go to another level. They're never challenged to step into a place of unity. And guess, let me tell you what's going to happen. I start preaching on unity. Guess what the devil's going to try to push on you and going to try to, he's going to try to mess you up.
That's right.
Right? The devil and his grandmama is a liar today.
Amen.
Woo. And I prophesy right now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, March.
Yeah.
I'm going to prophesy to this body.
Yeah, come on.
We will be a fellowship that walks in unity with one another. That will love one another and stay with one another. We're going to work it out. We're going to step into it. And we're going to get the highest blessing that God has for us. We're just going to go ahead and walk in it. And just go ahead and claim it. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Father, we love you tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And we command, we pray, God, that our unity would command the best blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray, God, that our unity would create in us a desire to go to levels we never thought we could go as a church. Father, that our unity together and love together would bind together, that, Lord, that nothing could separate us.
Thank you, Lord.
No wedge the devil can bring would ever begin to destroy the work that you're doing here. You're not going to be able to separate people by economic group, separate people by offense, or separate people by hardship, or separate people by what they do, what they don't do. But we declare into this body, God, a unity that has never been seen before. We pray that we command a blessing on this church.
Thank you, Lord.
That, Lord, you bless us so much, we're able to bless every church in this city. We can bless everybody that comes in contact with us. We can bless this whole city and be a city on a hill that's got a light that shines so that people know the presence of God is here and with us.
Thank you, Lord.
And I pray your blessing on your people. I pray unity in their homes and unity on their jobs, unity in all their endeavors, unity in everything they do. I pray the blessing of God in our families. Come on, let's pray. I want to pray for some lost people tonight. You got some lost kids tonight?
Yeah.
Just lift your hands up. You got some lost people? Just lift your hand. Jesus, in your name, we pray in agreement right now that you'll bring that which is lost back home. That you'll bring home those that are lost without God. Bring them to a saving knowledge of God. Not just save them, God, but change them and move them into a place of the corporate body that they could be a part of the bride of Christ, so that they can enjoy the blessings that come with being a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you bring salvation to them right now, deliverance right now. I pray against the spirit of apathy that's in this hour that says that they have time to get right. I pray there'll be an urgency in their heart to get right with God and a desire to walk with God, live with God, and turn their lives over to God. Right now, we call them, we speak to the east, and we say, East, give up those that are lost and bring them in.
Yes.
We speak to the west and we say, West, give up those that are lost and without God. We speak to the north and to the south to give up those that are lost and draw them in this building. Draw them that are lost in this city, lost in this region, lost in this area. Bring them in so that, God, you can clean them up, change them, and put them on a course that's right. We pray in unity as this body that, Father, the foundation of love and unity will allow the gifts of the Spirit to break loose into this place to change people's lives. Hallelujah. I declare love in this building. Unity in this building. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name.